This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So we're on a theme at the moment about prayer, and we've been looking at it in various aspects. And over the next, this week and the next couple of weeks, we're doing something a little bit more practical about particular things that go along with prayer. Next week, Andrew is talking about contemplation, which I think is probably the hardest. I think it's the hardest thing to do in prayer. And the week after, another hard thing, confession. Where did that sit in prayer? Liz will be doing that. Today, I want to talk about the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. Every week, we invite people to come forward for prayer. Sometimes you pray in your pews, laying on hands on people. If you're in a small group, you'll do it almost every week, I imagine. You'd be praying for people in your small groups. It's what we do everywhere. We make spaces for it. On the Healing on the Streets team will do it just over there once a month on a Saturday morning. And when you're out and about, you'll be praying for your neighbors and for your colleagues, and you'll be saying, do you mind if I lay my hands on you and pray for you? Why do we do that? If you're not familiar with this and you see people come to the front and somebody lays their hand, why are they putting their hand on them? Is it a magic trick? Is that what does it? You could be forgiven for thinking it's a bit strange for letting a stranger touch you whilst you have your eyes closed. I mean, they might steal your wallet. I think praying for one another, laying hands on one another, is one of the most important things we can do. And it's really, in this setting, I think it's one of the most fun things we can do. I remember when I first came across the idea of being that big part of our role to pray for one another. I remember, I think it was Wimber was teaching on it, and he challenged us to sort of track what's going on. And so in the back of my Bible, I wrote 1 to 100 in the back inside page of my Bible, and I began to note down every time I prayed for somebody in church or at work or whatever, just a brief note. And the plan was to see if I got to 100, whether I promised to pray for 100 people. And then if it wasn't working or was boring or bleh, I would stop at 100. I never got past about 20. It's like eating nuts, you can't stop. It was just so much fun. And I just saw enough in those 10 or 20 people I prayed for that God was interested in using me to bless other people. And it was just addictive in the best sort of way. You see, we're not here to offer psychological counseling or self-help techniques. We don't do that. Most of the time, we just can't fix each other. The best we can probably do is to signpost to professional resources. But we can pray. We can pray. You really can pray. We're told to pray, and prayer works. We give you lots of opportunities to pray. One of our sort of aphorisms around here is everybody gets to play. Everyone gets to play. So this morning I want to help those of you who are new to this to understand why we do this. I want to build your confidence about our practice, that it's safe and wise. And I want you to be confident about two things, about receiving prayer and about praying, about both things, about being asking for prayer and also for going forward and praying for people. For some of you, that's all brand new stuff, that'd be great. And for some of you, you'll be thinking, David, you taught me this a million times, and I'm just saying, I think you could do some more. And I want you to remember what we're saying and to teach other people. So if you've done this 100 times, next time you come forward to pray for somebody, bring somebody who doesn't know as much with you and show them how to pray, how to lay on hands. The meeting place is the training place for the marketplace. I want to introduce you to a good friend of mine, Ian, who a few weeks ago, we were doing this on a Sunday, and he was one of our guinea pigs. And he came up here, and we prayed for him. And I want you to come up here. I want you to hear his story. It was great. So tell us. Say hi to Ian.
Hi, everyone.
So you came to church, and you know it was amazing, but you weren't actually listening to what I was saying.
That's, That's right. I was struggling. I've had sinusitis problems off and on. And I was sitting over there, and it felt like a vice was around my head. I mean, it was really pressing on my brain to such a point where I just felt like I wasn't here. I was here physically, but not in mind, and just couldn't really focus on what was being said. I just felt out of it completely.
Right. I sense a few people feel like that. Without the vice around their head. And so at the end of the service, we had some words of knowledge, and Alison, I think, had described what she said.
She mentioned the word vice, and she said, like a vice pressing on your head. And inside I thought, that's me. That is me.
You see, that always happens. When Alison says something, people listen. what is it?
I thought, here's an opportunity that I cannot miss. So I thought, I'm going for that. I'm going to come out different than when I left, than when I came.
So you came up and you stood down there, if I remember rightly.
Yes.
And Alison and...
I don't know who it was. Was it Roman or...?
Was it Ganita? Was it you? No?
No, it was a man. Anyway,
a man? No, sorry. You didn't tell me that. Okay, somebody, Alison and a man, prayed for you.
Yes.
What happened?
They took the time, and I appreciated they didn't rush, and they were thorough.
That's
and they waited. You got the sense that they weren't just going to say a few words, and they like waited for God to act and to do something. And I didn't feel much difference in the first few minutes, but as they continued, I felt like the pressure was going. And then...
Just a minute, we're talking about you, Alison. Alison's been serving you coffee and tea. We talk about the time when you prayed for Ian, I don't know if you remember, about the vice. He says you were very thorough, and you took your time. And he listened to you, not to me. God, what happened after the 10 or 15 minutes or so of...
And then Alison, or the other person, the man, whoever that was, asked me, how are you feeling? I thought... The pressure's going. And they carried on praying. And then I just felt like somebody had unscrewed the vice. And it didn't happen immediately. You know, it happened gradually, but particularly towards the last, say, third of that time period when they were praying.
And you left different to the way you came?
Yeah, completely.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Isn't that good? Okay, so I want him to stay here because I want to do a little experiment with him, a little case study with Ian. When I say laying on of hands, what comes to mind? When a thief goes into a house and he lays hands on something he's going to steal, yeah? Or when you speak of violence, you speak of laying hands on somebody, don't you? When I was a child, I used to occasionally do things wrong, and figures of authority laid hands on me in a disciplinary sort of way, usually with a slipper attached. Or a massage. That could be laying on of hands. That's a massage, by the way. I'm not a masseur. They do things like that, don't they? What does laying on of hands mean? When we lay hands on people to pray for them, people adopt certain positions, don't they? So I've got a few favourites. So I want you to stand there and adopt the position of being prayed for. So put your hands out like that. Okay? That's the position, okay? So there is the hover, where it's about 5 centimetres off the skin level. Okay? That's the hover. You go like this. You hover. Don't actually touch, but hover. That's one technique, one method, one laying on of hands that we've experienced, which turned out to be a learned one, because we watched when the Americans first came over, when the Wimber crowd came over back in the early 80s, they hovered. So we all copied them because we thought that was magic. That's the way you did it. Turns out that the reason they did that was because they learned to pray for the sick in a really, really hot gymnasium in California. And if you went like that, everybody broke into a sweat. So they just hovered. There's also the grab. I've seen the grab occasionally. And that's where people come and they go like that. and they grab on. And it's almost as though the harder I grab, the more healing there'll be. Or there's the clamp. This is my favorite, the clamp. Which I think stops people falling over, and it's sort of, it's manly, this one. Well, you wouldn't do this with a woman. Okay. There's the whack. Okay, and I've seen, have you seen this? The whack where people, Smith Wigglesworth used to do this, and he would go, boom, and he actually hits somebody in the stomach. Or slapping your hands, or just like that, or like that. I've seen people do lay hands on in that way. And sometimes it's really effective. There's the Pope. Do you want to turn around a bit? This is the Pope. Okay? The Pope. Or my favorite, unfavorite, is the satellite. Okay? The satellite technique. Usually with the eyes shut. Lots of different ways of laying hands on. Thank you to Ian for his demonstration. Let's read about what Jesus did in Luke chapter 4 and how he went about laying hands on people. See if you can imagine how he did it. Luke chapter 4. We'll start at verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and he went to the home of Simon. And now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. And so he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. I wonder if he laid hands on. It doesn't say he did. I wonder if he, but I think bending over is implied. He put his hand on her head or something. I don't know. She got up at once, immediately healed, and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus, I think, would be agreed to be the greatest healer of all time. And he sets an example. And if we watch, if you read through the accounts like these of him praying for people and ministering to people, he did two things, really. He touched people, lots of ways he touched, laying hands on, putting his finger in people's ears, making mud and putting it on people's eyes. He touched all the time. He touched the untouchable, the lepers. And he laid hands on the sick. He was tactile. There's something about the fact that Jesus touched people. And the other thing he did as he touched was that he spoke a word. He would say something very specific. And the combination of the action and the word resulted in healing. And there were different sorts of words. Questions, commands, declarations, pronouncements, rebukes. All sorts of different things. And I'm not sure we'll have time, but if we have, we'll look at that a bit in a few minutes. Why did he do this, and what is going on when Jesus lays his hands on people and speaks those words? Three things happen when you lay hands on somebody. The first is that you communicate compassion. Would you like to look at Mark chapter 1? Mark chapter 1, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant, or other translations have Jesus was full of anger or full of compassion. The two words can be used there, one which is about anger and one which is about sympathy and compassion. There was something deep going on in Jesus' reaction. He did not like what he saw. This was the work of the enemy destroying somebody. Jesus was indignant, and he reached out his hand and touched the man. The leprosy victim, who was excluded from society because he was infectious, Jesus touched him. Immediately the leprosy left him. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." He spoke those words, "be clean." The leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Do you see, it's a compassionate response. That touch was just a megaphone of compassion in that man's life. And it makes the importance of touch really high. But it has to be done appropriately. And we have to be aware, particularly in our day and age, of people who have been abused in various ways or for whom one reason or another, touch is not a good thing. So whenever we're praying for somebody, we always ask them first, is it okay if I put my hands on you, I lay my hands on you? With that proviso, though, the touch is really important. It's comforting, it's reassuring, it's accepting, it communicates compassion. The second thing it does is it releases faith. Look at Mark chapter 5, just a few pages further on. Mark chapter 5. So we won't read the whole story, but you'll remember this is where Jesus comes to the town and a big crowd start following him. But there's Jairus, who's the sort of like the local religious political leader, comes to him and sort of humiliates himself because he's an important person, and he comes and he kneels in front of Jesus. Verse 22, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. There's a link between the action and faith. It releases faith. We say in the Vineyard that faith is spelt R-I-S-K, risk. It's taking an action. It's doing something which doesn't feel completely safe. It feels that you have to take a little step out in your faith, in your thinking, in your expectations. But in so doing, in that very action, that risk-taking action comes faith. And they could see it. They see it. And Jairus had faith. He knew that if Jesus took an action, and Jairus took an action to get to him, that faith would be released. So when you come forward in prayer ministry, or when you ask somebody in your small group, that's an action of faith, of taking a risk in asking. And then when someone stretches their hand out to lay their hand on you and pray for you, that's a posture of faith too. It's an expectation. Something's going to happen. I'm taking a step of faith. So when Jesus lays hands on people, there's compassion there in that dynamic. There's a release of faith in that dynamic. And then the third thing that happens is that he imparts power. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 17. So the next, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the next one along. Verse 17. This is the bit before the Beatitudes. He went down with them, and he stood on a level place. I love that bit of geography. And a large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon. Very specific. They had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Ha! Extraordinary what that must have been like. They were flocking to him because they wanted to touch him because power was coming from him and people were being healed. There's something about the touch of Jesus which releases compassion. There's something about the touch of Jesus which involves a dynamic of faith. And then there's a touch of Jesus which imparts power for healing. God can release his power anytime, anyway, anyhow. It's not a magic trick, but there's something with this action of laying hands on people which involves those three things: the compassion, the faith, and the power. So when we pray, come Holy Spirit, that's what we're asking for. When we worship and we expect the Holy Spirit to come, we want his presence and his power to come. That's what we're waiting for. And it's often accompanied by a growth in our faith and a build-up of compassion. And then the result is healing as we lay on hands and as we speak over people. Let me just comment very quickly on what it feels like to be somebody who is receiving prayer. So the person who is not well, the person who knows they need some help, and Anne said this morning, you might come with that card that makes you're scoring with shame or with anger, or it might be that you come with that heart sort of anxiety thing that Alex mentioned when he was at the end of worship, or you come with a physical condition. Now, it's hard enough for most people to go out to their neighbor to borrow the lawnmower. I know a lot of you don't even like going to the doctor. 90% of you would resist the opportunity to go and ask for a therapist. So to ask somebody to pray for you is a big deal. We're just not wired like that in Yorkshire. But if you look at scriptures, we haven't got time to delve into them in depth, but in James 5, James says, is anybody ill? Anybody sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of the righteous man will heal the sick. Jairus came to Jesus and knelt on the floor to ask him for help. The friends bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. People come to Jesus because they need help. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, standing at the side of the road on the way to Jericho, and he shouts out, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. The thrust of Scripture is that it's up to us to ask for help. It's not your house group's responsibility to read your mind and figure out what you need prayer for. It's your job to go to your house group and say, I need you to pray for me. It's not my job to try and persuade you to come to the front. It's your job, if you need the prayer, if you need laying on of hands, is to come and to get prayed for, or to turn to somebody near you and say, pray for me. That's the injunction. It puts the responsibility on us to ask for help. Now, there's lots of reasons why we don't then go ahead with it. We're fearful. A lot of people are afraid, or they're very shy. They don't want attention being drawn to them. They don't want people looking at them. They don't want to be stuck up here, and they say, what's going to happen? What if nothing happens? Or they don't want to be manipulated. Maybe you don't want to be manipulated. You think someone's going to make you do something, push you over, use a whack prayer and knock you down. Sometimes it's just that lack of faith, that we're not willing to take that risk of asking in case. And because we haven't taken that step, the faith doesn't quite get going. So there's lots of reasons, and I understand them, and I'm with you on those, that sometimes why it's hard to step forward and to ask for prayer, but that's, I would encourage you to do that. That's how people pray for you. Please don't blame people for not knowing that you needed praying for. Ask. But the flip side of that is that when somebody does ask for prayer, let's honor them. Let the rest of us honor them. Let us pray for them, even if you're not the person with your hands on them. Think of them. Don't chatter away behind their back whilst they're being prayed for. Honor the person being prayed for. They've taken a risk and they've done something really risky and out of their comfort zone. So let's bless them and honor what they're doing. And then what about why you might do it? Sometimes it's very obvious. It's a physical thing. You've got an injury or an illness. Sometimes it's mental health stuff, which is harder to see. The rest of us probably can't see it as easily. But you know if you've got a mental health problem, so, and it's fine in this church to ask for somebody to pray for you. It could be a spiritual struggle that you're going through. All things worthy of asking for prayer. You might be injured because somebody injured you. You might be the victim of some pain or something like that. Or the enemy might be afflicting you with temptations and addictions and things like that. Or you may be in a place of grief and loss. And you need the touch of God on your life. You may just be desperate for change. This is not where I want to be. God, help me. Or you're living with shame or guilt, and there's a repentance thing to go through, and you need help with that. Or you're just bewildered. That's where I often am. So if that's you, I would encourage you to press in and go for it. Take the opportunity in the places we create for you to be prayed for and for people to lay their hands on you. Now, I want to just talk you through what happens when we lay hands on, what we do. But to do that, I'm going to do it, because of time, I think we'll do that as an actual practical. So we'll pray for people, and I'll talk you through how they're praying, so you can learn what we're saying at the same time as seeing somebody being prayed for. This is not magic. This is about God. And I see God when we pray for each other and we lay hands on each other. And I think he's going, yes. He's saying, that's my love for my people being expressed to each other. I think he loves that. It's like Brian Bartimaeus, when he said, oh, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. I love Jesus' response. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Didn't Jesus know that he was blind? Of course he did. But he wanted that. He wanted that personal connection with him. Come and ask for what you need and let me love you and heal you. And I think God's like that. He's saying, what do you want me to do for you? And when we pray for people, it's a mystery. At the end of the day, we don't know what's going to happen. We can't always get everything we want. We're putting that person in with grace into the hands of God. And we're taking our hands off. It's in his hands. So I think what we'll do is we're going to pray. And we're going to ask for some words of knowledge. And then we're going to pray for people. And as we pray for them, I'm going to talk you through a simple model for how to do that, so that when you end up praying for somebody, you'll know, oh, I start here and then I finish there. It's really important that this church is a place which is safe for you to receive prayer and to pray and to learn how to do it. The training place is the market, the church, the meeting place is the training place for the marketplace. When you've received the love of God and when you've been healed, it's absolutely natural for you to want to bless others. When you lay hands on them, it communicates compassion, it releases faith, and it imparts power. So let's join together, shall we? Shall we agree to do this in asking for prayer, and in receiving prayer, and in seeing God's kingdom come? Yeah? Okay, let's pray, and let's ask the Lord to give us some words of knowledge. But what I mean by that is we want to know how to pray and who to pray for, and sometimes the Lord is gracious enough to give us sort of a kick start. So, Lord, we want to be available and we want to minister and lay hands on one another and see your kingdom come. So I ask you to come now and to speak to us and release words of knowledge amongst us so that we may know how to pray. Okay, so for the purposes of this exercise, I'd love to collect some words of knowledge about very obvious physical things that we can see and measure and work with. If you've got some other stuff, that's fine, but just for now, has anybody got any words of knowledge about some specific physical things that we can see? A poorly right foot. Do you know poorly with what? The toes are something. And it's a what? A bone. Bone thing. Okay, and is it, as you look at the foot, is it a male or a female? It's a big one, probably male. And is that a picture or a word or a, how do you get that?
It's a word first when you speak.
And what was the word?
Poorly foot.
Poorly foot, you got the word. Sort of the toes, yeah, not very nice. Okay, and you could tell from that it was a right foot, not a left foot. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Right hand, loss of sensation, like pins and needles. The arm, is it a male arm or a female arm? You can't tell. How hairy is it? So what did you, how does that come to you? That's fine. That's good. A thought. Okay. Sometimes you feel it. So some of you are feeling something in your body which you didn't have before we started this. And it's probably not yours, it's probably for somebody else. So if you describe that to me, it'll help us to work out what to do. So for some people, get a picture or a word. Numbness down the right side. Sort of fits. Anybody else? Right. So we have something in the right hand or something in the left hand, pins and needles-ish with a... So either one of them is wrong, or they're both wrong, or we've got both, or it doesn't really matter. If in describing that, you're thinking, that's me. I don't really care whether how accurate it is. It's a way of you getting to think, me, God knows me. My turn today. I'm going to be prayed for. Okay? Okay, which knee? Right knee. Sharp pain in your right knee? Maybe a twisted knee? Okay. One more? So you can see a picture of the spine, and you're going like that, which isn't, I don't think, what spine's meant to be like. Somewhere in the mid bit, there's... problem in the middle of your spine. Okay, this. Oh, a trapped nerve, which might be to do with the pins and needles. Okay. To be honest, I'm not particularly religious about this. I just think we try and do our best to understand what God's saying, and if it gets somebody prayed for who's not well, great. I had a picture of a tall, slim woman who's just had the diagnosis of something to do with her sight. So I don't know whether it's actually a tall, slim woman or a man or a short one or whatever. But if you've had a diagnosis of onset of poor sight, then we'd love to pray for you. Okay. And I think there's also an older man here. I mean, this is obvious because it's sort of like, it does happen, but it's what I got. So an older man here with a fast beating heart, a heart that's not beating right, it's beating too fast. I don't know if that has something to do with what Alex was saying. Okay, so anybody own up to any of those things? Anybody want to respond to those that feel that that might be me? Paul, Colin, are you the knee? No. Oh, he's got new knees. What's yours? Tingling. Paul, what's yours? Foot, right foot. Well, everything, right. Anybody else? Right foot, okay. Anybody else? Right foot. I think it's right. Let's do the what? Very quickly, because.
Okay, it's an old song called Marvin Gaye. What's going on? Was somebody here this morning thinking, what's going on?
Are you thinking what's going on? That song from Marvin Gaye. If you're thinking that's fine, come and talk to me or to Jeffrey or Alison or one of the pastoral staff. Right. Can I have the toes? Would you like to come to? Do you mind coming to the front so we can pray for you? And so I can. You don't have to, but if you don't mind, if the toes can like bring the rest of the body with them to the front, that'd be great. Ollie and Jen, would you like to come and pray for one of these guys? Alison and Anne, would you pray for somebody? Sally and Matt, would you take somebody? So if you go over there, Paul, you stay in the middle. If you'd like to stand over here. Ollie and Jen, do you want to pray for this gentleman? So, they're going to pray, and I'm going to tell you what they're doing. And hopefully there's going to be a correlation. We haven't prepared this, but they heard this talk before. So, So the first thing that's going on is they're going to ask the question. Number one is, what's the problem? What's the problem? That's all. It's not. We're not after a medical diagnosis. Just ask them, say, where does it hurt? What is it? I think you've probably got a good idea already. The clue was in the invitation. You might want to do a 1 to 10 scale. So on a scale of 1 to 10, is it hurting at 10? You know, really, 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 you're about to die, or 1? And then we can measure as we pray. If you're generally talking to somebody and you haven't got the clue that we've already done, then you might want to say, is it physical? Is it a mental health issue? Is it spiritual? Look out for what it is. Doesn't take long. Where does it hurt? Second thing is, whilst you're having that discussion, is you're asking yourself and you're praying, how shall I pray? How am I going to pray for this person? Am I going to do the command thing that Jesus often did, or the declaration, or is it going to be rebuke to the enemy? Don't be afraid that you might be praying, speaking to the condition. So you might be saying to the toe, I command you to be healed. You need to ask the Lord for how to pray. And because it's a toe, what somebody's going to need to kneel down and put their hand on the toe. Sometimes it takes more than once, so it's fine to do soaking prayer, come back week after week and have the same thing prayed for. Sometimes it's a breaking of the power of the evil spirits. It's always a declaration that God loves the person. Always that. Always that. And then they start to pray. So they're going to start to pray. The easiest way to start to pray is to say, Holy Spirit, come. That's what we say, Holy Spirit, come. It's our sort of anthem, if you like. Holy Spirit, come. Just like in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We want what happens in heaven, which is wholeness and perfection, to be reflected here on earth. And then they'll wait. And they, in the course of praying and waiting and laying hands on, and they will be asking for words of knowledge and for a prophetic word for the person. They'll be continuing to say, how do I pray? They'll pray simply. They may repeat things. That's fine. They're not going to give advice. They're not going to say, when I was this, when I had that, I did this. They're going to be watching the person. They'll pray with their eyes open so they can see what happens. They'll often put their hands on the part that's... So this is, we're talking toes here mainly, and Jen's got a hand on this guy's right foot. They'll pray for a short while, and then they'll do a feedback, and they'll just say, what's going on? Not like an intensive questionnaire, but more, anything happening? The person might be healed straight away. With Ian, when we had that testimony earlier on, it took a while, so nothing was happening to start with. And as you talk to somebody whilst you're praying for them, saying, how are you doing? What's going on? The Lord will speak to you, and with what they say, you'll narrow down what you're praying for, if necessary. You'll get more and more focus, and you'll realize, this is the issue I need to pray about. I thought it was that, but actually it's this. So they might start praying for the toe and end up praying for something completely different. The picture of the toe is just a way of getting somebody into the presence of God. So they'll do the feedback, and then they'll go back to praying a bit more, and then they'll feedback a bit more, and they're praying. They might say, when I'm looking at you, this is what I see. And the Lord will speak through our eyes and say, okay, I can see this on this person. Sensitive questions, not a discussion. Nice and short. Now, I'll let them carry on, but just to finish off with, how do you finish? Well, the thing is, not to finish whilst the Holy Spirit is still ministering to somebody. So it's obvious somebody's engaged with God and something's going on. Don't stop. Unless the building's about to be locked up or something. Don't stop. On the other hand, if it's finished, don't keep praying. Okay? So when you sort of got to the end and you've done all your best joined up prayers and they say, yeah, I'm fine, or I've got better, or I'm done, stop. Go and get a cup of coffee. Okay? We keep praying whilst it's obvious to do so, and we stop when it's obvious to stop. And depending on what you've been praying for, you might finish with what we call post-prayer counsel. So you might say, this is not advice, but what you might say is, are you in a small group? Because that's a really healthy place to deal with lots of stuff. We'd encourage people to get into a small group. We might say, let's say I've been praying for somebody with addiction problems and God's done a miraculous healing of an addiction issue. I might say, well, let's... let's work on a lifestyle which takes you away from addiction possibilities. So you might do a little bit of that, but not much, because they haven't come for advice. They've come to be prayed for. Okay, so that's what we do. So I'm going to, do we have any feedback for me from any of the three of you? Is it worse or better or the same? We always get to this point and we're sort of pressed for time. So I'd love to spend another 20 minutes sort of feeding back and stuff. Why don't you stand? Explain very quickly.
Yeah. So we've just been praying for Paul. And it's been really good just to wait and to listen. So we've been praying for both of his hands and his right foot. Do you want to say anything about how you're feeling?
My right hand was really playing it up. It was sort of sitting down, it's feeling a lot better than it was. It's a lot more movable. And the left one's back to normal. So yeah, the hands, it really has been improving. It's not just psychological, it is actually physical. Believe me, I'd know.
Fantastic.
Great.
He wasn't forced to say that.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for saying that. Thanks for sharing. What normally happens when we have three, we get one person completely healed, one person in the middle, and one person nothing. So Paul is the completely healed. And do we have any feedback? That's the medium one. Okay. If you want to respond to any of the other words of knowledge that we had before, or you just to what was said by Alex or Anne at the beginning, or anything I've said, if you would like us to pray for you, it's taking that step forward, just stick your hand up where you are right now. Stick your hand up nice and high so people can see. This is an opportunity. This is the best we'll get for this morning. Right. The rest of you, look around and find somebody who's got their hand up. Please, would you try and do those five steps? Ask them what it is. Decide how you're going to pray. Pray for them. Do some feedback discussion. And then finish. Okay? There's two ladies over here. On the left, my left, your right. You might need to turn around and have a look behind you. There's Cindy behind Gareth. Preferably two people to each person being prayed for. If you've never done this before, go and tag on and learn. We desperately need to go and get the children, so I'm going to pray to finish, and then if you have children, please go and get them. Sorry about the chaos, that's the way it is. May I encourage you to ask for prayer, and when you get the opportunity, lay hands on people and pray for them, and let's see the kingdom of God come. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being with us today and what we've learned and what we've been able to do with you and hear from you. And I pray that you'll bless people in this room with your presence and your power and your compassion, and that you'll grow faith in us to pray for the sick. May your kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. Sorry we overran.